Lord and our God, this morning as we've come into your presence, we do so as we've already been instructed this morning with reverence, with respect, with an understanding of who we are, but more importantly, of who you are. And so, God, as we transition from singing your praises to listening to your word, we ask that you sharpen our ears and our hearts so that your truth would be heard. And we make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We're making our way through this series on the art of living well. And it's a series on Proverbs. And each week through the summer, we've been dealing with a particular, very practical aspect of what it means to live life well. This morning, we're going to deal with the topic of increasing my impact. And I want to begin by asking you three questions, and I don't want an audible response. Three questions. First of all is, do I want to make an impact for good in my life? The second one is, do I want to be well respected by others? And the third one is, when I get to the end of my life, do I want to have people say about me, he or she made a difference? I suspect that most of us here, unless you're a psychopath or a sociopath, that those are three questions that you want answered positively about you. That we don't want to get to the end of our life and think, I just took up space and I just took up oxygen. And that's it. That's all I can say. You know, the time in which most of the time when these questions are answered, they're answered when somebody dies. They're answered when I'm meeting with the family after their loved one has passed away. And that's when these questions are revealed. Sometimes we get so busy in our everyday life, you know, with work and school and grocery shopping and homework and sports and hobbies and doctor's appointments and all the other kinds of things that crowd our schedule and our agenda, that rarely do we sit down and think clearly about the legacy, our legacy. Do we think about the impact we are making today on the people around us? So this morning, we're going to try to keep our heads above water long enough to be able to look at this question of how do you make an impact, which has to do with character. What does that mean? Now, our culture's standard response to how do you make an impact on the people around you or on the world around you, by and large, their response would be it takes fame and it takes money. And the more fame and money you have, the greater impact you can have. And so I want to sort of experiment with that myth a little bit. I came across a woman by the name of Fanny Elsler. Fanny Elsler, who was one of the biggest celebrities in the mid-1800s. She was a superstar in Europe. She was a superstar in the United States. She was an Austrian ballerina. And in 1840, she came to the United States and she toured the United States for 2 years. And every single one of her performances was jam-packed, standing room only. There was a rumor that Congress even adjourned in order to go attend one of her performances. Some things never change. But by the time she retired in 1852, she had amassed a fortune. So the question, anybody ever heard of this woman? No. The point, fame and wealth alone don't make an impact. That's the myth that our culture wants to tell us. So if fame and fortune don't make the impact or don't really allow us to, what's the best way to have a positive, long-lasting impact? The answer to that is found in Proverbs 22. It says, a good reputation is a better choice than riches. Esteem is more valuable than money. In other words, what Proverbs is talking about is a good name. And a good name in Proverbs is a very common theme there. In our age, reputation has come to mean image. Reputation has come to mean image. But in the Bible, character or a good reputation is built on character, not on image. Image is what you are in the public. Character is what you are in private. Image is how I am or how you perceive me on Sunday morning. Character is how I treat my staff during the week. Image is what people think you are. Character is what you really are or who you really are. And it's character, not image, that allows us to make the impact on the people around us and our community. Proverbs talks about four characteristics that have to do with character. Four of them. And if you build these four characteristics into your life, I don't want to guarantee them, but pretty much the Bible says you will have an impact. You will make an impact with your life. So here they are. Number one, speak with integrity. Speak with integrity. It's a major theme. Proverbs 17:7. Arrogant lips are unsuited to a fool. How much worse lying lips to a ruler? The Good News Translation makes it much easier to understand. It says this, respected people do not tell lies. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're sitting there thinking, well, this doesn't really apply to me because I don't lie. Liar. And now that we've covered that obvious point, let's move to the other aspect of what it means to speak with integrity. It not only means honesty, but it also means in that sense in which you keep promises. Proverbs 25:14, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of gifts. He doesn't give. Speaking with integrity not only means more than just speaking honestly without deceiving somebody. It means keeping your promises. Keeping your promises. Ever make a promise to somebody and didn't keep it? I think most of us have at some point in our life. Have we ever made a promise to somebody and know that we're not going to keep it? Yeah, the pain got a little worse on that one, didn't it? Here are some of the most common promises that are not kept. No particular order. First one, I'll do that right away. I'll get right on that. And a month later, nothing's happened. Number two, I'll return this as soon as I'm done with it. And a year later, they still have it. Or you still have it. I'll pay you back as soon as I have the money. No comment necessary. If you're the kind of person that has dinner as a family at a particular time, it's, I'll be home at 6 or 7 or 5 or whenever it is that you expect your spouse home for dinner. And then here's another one for all of you spiritual types. I promise to pray every day for you. Speaking with integrity involves more than just honesty. It involves keeping your promises, which means it involves being dependable. And the benefits of integrity, and speaking of integrity, go beyond just words. Proverbs 10:9 says this, the person of integrity walks securely, But he who takes crooked paths will be found out. It says, a person has integrity, they will walk securely. Why? Because they don't have to worry about all of the lies and all of the little half-lies and the little white lies and half-truths and all of those things that they've said coming back to haunt them. They can walk securely, confidently, peacefully. I heard about a man, true story, who was having an affair, and he went to the trouble of writing down on a yellow tablet all of the lies that he was telling his wife or that he told his wife. And the reason he did that was so he could keep track of what he could say and what he couldn't say. 300 lies. And that was working okay for him until his wife found the notebook. That was trouble. Integrity, speaking with integrity produces stability because it allows you to sleep at night. It brings peace to your being. So how are you doing in speaking with integrity? Number two, you want to serve with intensity. And I'm going to change that, serve with intensity, to serving with enthusiasm. Are you the kind of person who always looks like you need one of those 5-hour energy drinks? You go to work looking like you got run over on the way to work? Serving with energy. The Bible encourages us that whatever we are doing, whether you are a student, whether you are a volunteer, whether you're working part-time, whether you're working full-time, whatever it is, do it with intensity. Do it with enthusiasm. That's where God has placed you. Proverbs 14:22, you will earn the trust and respect of others if you work for good. Vic Sienka was a traffic cop in Pittsburgh, which is, as most of you know, that's where the city I grew up. And for decades, he entertained bored, angry drivers stuck in 5-hour rush hour traffic. That is not an easy thing to do. And the way he used to entertain them was he really was almost more mime than he was traffic cop. But he had a way with people and a way with just being himself that was entertaining and funny and enjoyable. People would stop, and I was part of that crowd. You'd be walking down the streets of Pittsburgh at 5 o'clock rush hour, whenever it was, and he'd be directing traffic, and people would stop and just watch because he was that much fun to watch. More than a few people were busy watching him and not the light, and so when the light changed, he had to walk over and sort of gently encourage them to go. The show is over. It's time for them to move. He became not only a local celebrity, but gained some notoriety in terms of the national level. He was on a very old show called Candid Camera. Much later, it became known as Punked. He was on the Johnny Carson show when Johnny Carson, of course, was still there. He's been in several movies that had to do with Pittsburgh. He died in 2010, and when he died, the Pittsburgh paper said this about him: a downtown traffic jam without Vic Sienka is a traffic jam with no redeeming qualities. He became a legend, and he was loved universally in that city because he served with intensity and with enthusiasm, and in a job which I've never heard a policeman say, I really want to direct traffic, in a job that nobody liked. Here's the struggle that we often have. We're willing to serve God, but we're not wild about serving other people. It's an honor to serve God. It's humbling to serve people. So here's the question. How do you know if you have a servant's heart? And the answer to that question is simple. How do you respond when somebody treats you like a servant? Because the truth is, we're never going to really serve God unless we also serve others. Proverbs 11:27 says, he who seeks good finds goodwill. How are you doing in serving others? With intensity and with enthusiasm. Number three, share with generosity. People who make an impact with their lives are generous individuals. Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I know it sounds like a paradox to say that the more you give, the more you get, because oftentimes we think of when we give something away, we just think it's lost, but it's not. Now, when I say giving away, when you give away, you get more. I'm not talking about materially. I'm talking about emotionally. I'm talking about spiritually. God blesses you in those ways. And so often, it's sort of like somebody compared giving away and then receiving back from God spiritual blessings. It's sort of like giving blood. You give it, and God replenishes it. Proverbs 22:9 says this, the generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Psalm 112 says this, he who gives generously to the needy and shows kindness will be powerful and respected. Because respect brings power, does it not? The best kind. Andrew Carnegie in the 1800s was one of the wealthiest, if not the wealthiest man in the world, certainly in America. He made his fortune in steel, but he didn't come from wealth. He came from poverty. Growing up, he and his family shared a one-bedroom home. Think about that for a moment. How do you share a one-bedroom home with another family? Where do they sleep? Where do you sleep? Well, the answer was they had to sleep in shifts, and that's what they did. When he died, they found a piece of paper in his desk, and on it, it said this, and this was written when he was in his early 30s, long before he became wealthy. On it, he said this, I propose to spend the first third of my life making as much money as possible, and I propose to spend the last third of my life giving it all away. And that's exactly what he did. In 1901, he sold U.S. Steel for $500 million. $500 million in 1901. And for the rest of his life, he gave it away. And if you go to the city of Pittsburgh, you will see his name on steel mills, on street signs, on libraries, on schools, everywhere. There are plenty of wealthy people when he lived, and so few of them are remembered today because they weren't generous with their money. But generosity isn't just about money. I'd like to expand that definition a bit to include generosity in terms of your time, generosity in terms of your smile, generosity in terms of your praise, your encouragement, your forgiveness, your love. Generosity can be applied to any one of those other characteristics in your life. Your joy. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. We don't get to determine the circumstances of our death, but we do get to determine the legacy we're going to leave. So how are you doing? Are you stingy with your money? Are you stingy with your time? Are you stingy with your praise? Are you stingy with your joy? Or do those things sort of flow out of you? What makes a legacy is speaking with integrity. It's serving with intensity. It's sharing with generosity. And finally, it is succeeding with humility. Watch out for pride. Proverbs 29 says this, pride ends in humiliation while humility brings honor. I think most of us would agree that success can ruin people. We see that every single day in the news. And oftentimes we look at those people who have been so successful and have fallen so far, and we say, we're just critical of them. We say, how can they possibly be that foolish? And the assumption is, well, if I had their money, if I had their gifts, if I had whatever it is that they have that we covet, that that kind of success wouldn't ruin me. Your pride's showing, isn't it? How can you spot a humble person? Proverbs 27:21 tells us, fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but a person is tested by being praised. So every time you're complimented, understand you're being tested. Somebody said that praise is like chewing gum. You want to enjoy it, but you never want to swallow it. That's really true. Proverbs is all about character. It's about what are you going to be remembered for? And if you can adapt or adopt these four characteristics, you will go a long way to having character that changes and makes an impact. But the last thing I want to just touch on briefly is the question of how do you get character, and or how, maybe a better way to say it is, how do you lose it? We all know the story about the Titanic. We know that it was a big, wonderful, expensive, luxurious ship, hit an iceberg, and sank. But I'm not sure that, and I wasn't aware until I did a little more study on it, that there were few incidents, few events, few tragedies in the last 100 years that have garnished so much attention and fascination and research and studies as the sinking of the Titanic. Whole forests have been decimated over the paper that has been written about that tragedy. And there have been a few surprises along the way. One is the ship, when it went down, when it was hit, it didn't, before it sunk, it didn't go way up in the air as depicted in the movie Titanic. Instead, the survivors tell us that as they were in the lifeboats or the people were in the water, they looked at the ship and they couldn't find any reason why they were in a lifeboat. They couldn't see any damage. They couldn't see any problems. The ship was tilted only at about 11 degrees, which is not a lot. One survivor was swimming away from the ship. He didn't even hear it go down. He said, one minute, I looked around, it was there. The next minute I looked around, it was gone. One of the surprises that people have found with the Titanic is that the iceberg hit the front part of the ship. And in the builder's haste to meet a deadline to get this ship built, they ran out of steel rivets, which were much stronger. And instead, they replaced them with iron rivets, which are much weaker. And the iron rivets were at the front of the ship. They also discovered that when they looked at the hull, even below the waterline, there wasn't massive holes. They were small holes. The point being really simple, small damage below the waterline, invisible to most people's vision, can sink a massive ship. They can also ruin your life. Small things, tiny things, ruin your life. Sometimes we think, and oftentimes we think, it's going to be some huge iceberg that we're going to see coming at us, and so we're going to be able to sort of veer away in time. Generally, that's not the case. Character is lost because, like those iron rivets, Character is lost because of small, tiny compromises we make every single day that most people cannot see. Those are the things that sink our life. Our character is determined by the choices we make on a daily basis. And usually that's not the big ones. It's the small ones that do us in. There's a second character, or second aspect to how we develop or lose character, and it might surprise you. It has to do with who you hang out with. It has to do with friendships. Because the truth is, our friends tend to mold our character. They tend to influence us in all the things that we do. I've mentioned this before, but when I was in college, my sophomore year, I hung out with the wrong group of people. And towards the halfway through the year, by God's grace, I was able to see that. And so I got rid of those friends and got a whole new other set of friends. Parents are really good at seeing this in their children's friends. But you know, it applies to adults as well. If you hang out with bad company, you're going to have bad character. It's really that simple. It's a biblical principle. But what if you could hang out with somebody who had all four of these qualities and these characteristics? Somebody who spoke with integrity, somebody who served with intensity, somebody who gave generously, and somebody who succeeded with humility. What would your character look like if you had the opportunity to hang with people, or at least a person who had those kind of characteristics? The good news of the gospel is there is a person who has these characteristics, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he is the perfect image of what we need and what we look for in somebody who has these four attributes. Because Jesus always spoke with integrity. He never allowed either his disciples or the crowd to push him or pressure him into being or doing something that he was not to do. And I'm thinking in my mind that the people wanted him to become an earthly ruler and get rid of the Romans. He didn't succumb to that pressure. He certainly served with intensity as he washed his disciples' feet on the last night that he was with them. He gave generously of his blood when he was nailed to the cross, and he succeeded with humility when, after he was crucified, he was resurrected. And after his resurrection, God exalts him to the highest position in the universe as the Lord over all. The good news is that you can have a friendship with that individual. You can have a friendship with Jesus Christ that changes your character from the inside out, because character is not about trying harder. It's about fundamentally changing who you are. And you need Jesus Christ to allow you to do that. I can promise you this, that if you allow him into your life and you follow him on a regular basis, your character will become more like his character. And you will have an impact beyond your wildest imagination on the people and on the community around you. So that at your funeral, somebody might say this about your life, that your words were like thunder because your life was like lightning. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we ask that as we give ourselves to you, that you would transform us. Give us the passion to hold on to you and to be restored from the inside out. And make our character one that is pure in every respect. And we make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.